Good morning, brothers and sisters. As I'm sure it has for many of you, the resurrection of Jesus has been on my mind a lot this week. In a strange way, knowing that we wouldn't be gathering today for worship has led me to spend more time personally reflecting on the significance of the resurrection and what that is for us as Christians, especially in a time of trial like we're going through. The reality that Jesus conquered death stand in such stark contrast to the fear and suffering brought about by the spread of COVID-19. So for today's devotional, I want to share 5 Easter encouragements. I'm calling these Easter encouragements and not resurrection reflections, because this first one has to do with the crucifixion of Christ. It's impossible to separate Jesus' suffering and death from his resurrection and exaltation. So I want to reflect on the blessings that come to us from Jesus' death and resurrection. So the first Easter encouragement I have for you today is summarized by the word atonement. But before we get to atonement, we first need to see why we need atonement. This week I was reading through the passion stories in the Gospels, and the first thing that struck me was the evil of the crucifixion. Luke 22:53 is an especially striking verse. When the mob comes to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says this to them: "When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." The power of darkness hangs over the passion stories, the betrayal of Judas with a kiss, the cowardice of the officials coming out at night outside the city to arrest Jesus, the failure of his disciples to stay awake and pray with him, the betrayal of Peter, and then the mocking of Jesus, first by the Jewish officials and then by Pilate's guards. They spat on him. They beat him. There's the mockery of justice. There are the crowds shouting for Barabbas. And finally, the crucifixion. Jesus hanged on the cross between 2 thieves. As a reader, it's tempting to distance yourself from all that evil. But the words of the hymn we sing are the reality. "Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished." The evil hour should make us think of our own evil. We've been cowardly. We've opposed our Lord. We've betrayed him for the sake of our own comfort and pleasure. The striking evil of the crucifixion leads us to lament our own sin. And yet, the most wonderful reversal lies buried in this terrible, evil hour. It's in the hour of evil that Jesus makes atonement for sins. After Jesus rose from the dead, the men in dazzling apparel say to the frightened women who have come to embalm Jesus' body, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Even this evil hour was a necessary part of God's plan. Listen to this rather long quote from the Dutch theologian Herman Bavinck. He describes the evil hour like this: "Christ knew that this hour was coming and displayed the highest spiritual might of his love and obedience. He appeared to be entirely helpless. The enemies were doing with him as they pleased. Darkness triumphed over him. In very fact, in a spiritual sense, he descended into hell. But the power of darkness was not its own. It was given by the Father. The enemies of Jesus did not understand that they were merely agents and instruments, and that without their knowledge or will, they were carrying out what God's hand and counsel had before determined should be done. In his humiliation, too, Christ was the mighty one who himself freely laid aside and gave his soul a ransom for many. The hour of the might of darkness was his own hour. In his death, he conquered death by the power of his love, by his perfect self-denial, by his absolute obedience to the will of the Father." Meditating on the resurrection forces us to meditate on the cross, which reveals both the justice and mercy of God. We see the height of sin on display as the perfect Son of God is abused and killed, and we see why judgment is deserved, and yet we see the miracle of Christ's love. Though he was completely innocent, the spotless Lamb of God, he willingly bore God's judgment in the place of sinners. Because of the blood of the righteous, spotless Lamb of God, God's wrath is turned away from us guilty sinners. Brothers and sisters, if you've been left with more time to reflect during these days of social distancing, you might be feeling keenly the weight of your sin. Perhaps with extra time, you're falling into more sin. But the good news is that Jesus came to give his life a ransom for sinners. His blood atones for our sin. It covers the guilty so they can be purified in the presence of God. You can take hold of this first Easter encouragement by confessing your sin to God, by resting once again on the sufficient sacrifice of the spotless Lamb. The first Easter encouragement is the atonement that Jesus made for sinners. The second Easter encouragement is summed up by the word justification. We usually think of justification in connection with the death of Christ, and it does belong there. But the resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that he was perfectly righteous. Jesus had no sin, and so in the words of Peter's sermon in Acts 2, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Because Jesus had no sin, death had no claim on him, and so he rose from the dead. First and foremost, the resurrection is the vindication and the justification of Jesus. It's God's pronouncement that Jesus is righteous, that he had no sin. And the good news for us is that because Jesus was justified in his resurrection, we also can be justified by faith in him. And this is what Paul tells us in Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. His death paid for our sin, but if not for his resurrection, we would have no hope. His resurrection demonstrates his perfect righteousness. We are justified by faith in his work because Christ was justified in his resurrection. The blessing of resurrection goes hand in hand with the blessing of atonement. But it tells us we're not only covered by Christ's blood, but we are declared righteous in God's sight positively. We can stand before God because we are clothed in the righteousness of the risen Christ. We don't ever have to doubt the quality of Christ's righteousness. It is perfectly sufficient. His resurrection proves that it is infinitely worthy, that he fully satisfied the debt of worship that we owe to God. Jesus Christ was raised for our justification. We enjoy this blessing of the resurrection by faith in Jesus. So meditate on the goodness of Christ as you read the Passion stories. Consider Jesus' perfect obedience and love in bearing our sin. That is his righteousness on display. Believer, you are justified. You are counted righteous in Christ. The third Easter encouragement is sanctification. Justification refers to God's legal pronouncement of righteousness based on Christ's obedience. Sanctification is the word we use to describe God's ongoing work in our lives of making us more like Christ, of helping us by the power of the Holy Spirit grow in holiness and obedience. With the resurrection of Christ, a new age has dawned, the age of the Spirit, the age of life. Because Jesus rose from the dead and conquered sin and death, we who trust in him are freed from the bondage to sin and are indwelled by his life-giving Spirit. The Apostle Paul repeatedly appeals to the resurrection as the power and motivation for sanctification. Romans 6:4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Brothers and sisters, your walk with God is founded on the resurrection of Christ. Colossians 3 says that you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. As you fight sin and pursue holiness, remember that you have broken off all relationship to sin and are alive with Christ. Last year we preached a brief sermon series on this from Colossians 3. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons and receive resurrection encouragement for walking with the Lord. So as you fight against anxiety or desperation in these days, remember that you are alive in Christ. In the words of one of my favorite seminary professors, Richard Gaffin, he said, "Become what you are in Christ." He summarized the whole teaching of the Apostle Paul on the Christian life like this. He said, "The Christian life in its entirety is to be subsumed under the category of resurrection. The Christian life is resurrection life. So again, as you fight sin, remind yourself that a return to sin is a return to the old man. It's a return to the ways of death. It's counter to who you are as a new creation, as a partaker in Christ's exaltation. Sanctification is a blessing of Christ's resurrection. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, "I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." So that third Easter encouragement is sanctification, and the fourth one goes right along with it, and right along with that verse from Philippians, the fourth encouragement is glorification. God is doing a work in you that he will bring to completion. Christ's victory over death gives us a hope for glorification. 1 Corinthians 15:20 describes the risen Christ as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. There's an organic connection between our resurrection and glorification and Christ. So as certainly as Christ has been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God, so you are raised and seated and will be raised and glorified at the last day. Again, the opening verses of Colossians refer to this, and they say, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Brothers and sisters, we have a living hope. We can see it already manifest in the exalted Christ. Our lives are hidden in him, and one day what is hidden will be revealed. All the suffering and sorrow we experience now is only temporary. By comparison, one day it will seem brief. In his resurrection, Jesus, the Son of David, was declared to be the Son of God in power. We will be glorified with him. The resurrection leads us to meditate on the hope of the new heavens and the new earth, of glorious life with God for eternity. The Easter encouragement of glorification. The final Easter encouragement I want to share with you can be summed up by the word mediator. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And it's easy to see how that was the case as he walked the earth. But Jesus' mediatorial work continues and even grows as he is exalted. As the risen Lord seated at God's right hand, he's an even greater mediator. For one thing, we know that even now he is at God's right hand interceding for us. Listen to how Paul describes Christ's exaltation in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's describing the immeasurably great power of God. This is what he says starting in verse 20. "This power of God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The exalted Christ is the head of the church. One way we see this working out is in looking at what Jesus did between his resurrection and ascension. He spent his time instructing his disciples about the scriptures and the kingdom so they could be his witnesses to the world. He had a very specific mission during those days between his resurrection and ascension. He was laying the foundation for his church on the apostles and prophets. And what would come to know as the New Testament comes out of that instruction. The New Testament isn't a random collection of writings, but it's the Spirit-inspired apostolic witness to the risen Christ. The resurrection of Christ was necessary so that we could benefit from the gospel. It's as the risen Christ that Jesus gives the gifts of salvation to his people. And because of our exalted mediator, the gospel has been preserved for us in the apostolic deposit, the New Testament scriptures. Another way we see Jesus' mediatorial work is in his appearances to individuals after his resurrection. You see how Jesus is the good shepherd to his sheep. Again, it's notable what he does during this time. He doesn't use this time between resurrection and ascension to become kind of a super evangelist. He didn't appear to all the kings of the earth and turn them into Christians. What we see him doing is appearing to his people, the good shepherd tending to his sheep, often in the midst of their doubts. It's notable that almost all of these accounts of Jesus meeting individuals or small groups involve an element of correction. So in Luke 24, when Jesus is talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he says to them, "Foolish ones," before he explains how the Old Testament scriptures pointed to him. And then a few verses later in Luke, he appears to the 11 disciples and gently rebukes them for their doubts. And of course, we're familiar with the story of doubting Thomas and the story of Jesus appearing to Peter and saying, "Feed my sheep," 3 times. Even with Mary Magdalene, he tells her not to cling to him because he is ascending to the Father. I found in this a kind of comfort. For one thing, it shows us disciples of Christ have always struggled with doubts and needed Christ's reassurance and correction. We've always needed the correcting words of our Savior, and it's even good to be corrected by our risen Lord. One theologian noted about the early doubts of Jesus' disciples that only in communion with the living Lord were the obstacles removed and the way paved for their apostolate. The head of the church is indeed a good shepherd. He puts the wayward sheep on the path. He is our mediator, our prophet, priest, and king. And our risen Savior comes to us to commune with us now, now clearly as the Lord of glory. He is our head, the ruler over all principalities and powers, and yet he is gentle with us, even as he corrects us. Through Jesus, our prophet, priest, and king, though he's absent with us, he is still with us in spirit. By faith, we have access to the Father through him. By his word and spirit, we have our marching orders as the church. Because of Christ, our mediator and head, we preach the gospel. And we do so trusting in the risen Lord to use our preaching to save sinners. Jesus ascended and sat down, but he did not stop working. He's even now reconciling the world to himself, and he's working through us to glorify his name. He's the great mediator. Today, I hope you will take hold of these 5 Easter encouragements. Because of Christ's work, your sins are atoned for. Because he rose from the dead, you are justified in him. Because you are alive in him, you can walk in the newness of life. Because he is the first fruits, we have a hope of glory. And because he is our mediator, you are never alone. You have access to the Father, and you have a purpose. You are to be about the King's business, heralding the good news of the risen Christ to a world under the reign of sin and death. Let me pray for us. Oh Father, we are so grateful that you have revealed yourself to us in the work of Christ, both as humiliation and exaltation. We thank you that our lives are hidden with him. They are safe and secure with him in heaven. We thank you that our exalted Savior, even now, is interceding for us. Even as we don't know what to pray for, he is praying for us perfectly. Father, we pray that you would give us hope during these times. I pray for Christ our Savior Baptist Church that you'll help us even to grow in love as we're apart. Help us to care for each other, to be checking in on each other, to love one another, and to point each other to our risen Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.